Welcome to Answers Unleashed, a talk show to help you reshape your brain with science and faith so you find the answers in front of you. I am your host, Olympia Lapointe. Now, if you know anything about this show, you know what we do is we bring on experts on this show to help us understand how we can reshape, change the way that we're thinking about things so we can move forward in all the different areas that we want to go in life. Now, if you are a person who loves Hollywood, loves the movies, loves to go places and see all the great films that are out there, you're in for a treat today because I have a guest with us that's going to not only share about what she is doing now with all the video games and the films that are out right now for you to watch, but you're also going to find out what it takes to actually be a game changer in the Hollywood industry. Now, I am your host, Olympia Lapointe, and I love bringing expert guests on this show so you understand exactly how to succeed. And if you are a person who is an actor or an actress, you want to stay tuned in. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here. Have you moved to Hollywood to become an entertainer but struggle in booking great work? Do you wish to have a thriving career in TV and film, but face stiff competition? There's beautiful men and women out there. How do you stand out? Do you need inspiration to keep moving forward as an entertainer? If so, you're in the right place. Veteran Hollywood actress Danielle Bisutti, seen on ABC, CBS, a host of other networks, is here to offer you tips on how to stay in Hollywood and love what you do and what you are doing.
That's quite an introduction. I'm not certain I'm worthy of it. But the answer to your questions, all of them, is yes. And just don't drive off the cliff. Just stay with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to Danielle Bisutti here. Now, Danielle has made a name for herself in the entertainment industry with the diverse characters in which she has brought to film and television.
Thank you.
In 2013, she received rave reviews for, I'm looking at you, your role in top grossing Sony Pictures and Film District.
Film District Insidious Chapter 2.
Insidious Chapter 2.
Yes, Mother of Death.
My gosh.
I know. It gets weirder, by the way. It's going to get even more strange.
This is not only nationwide this was released. You have been in The Mother of Parker Crane.
Yeah, The Mother of Parker Crane is the character in Insidious.
The Mother of Death. Okay. And this was affiliated with Universal.
Yes.
Universal Studios.
Correct.
And you've been on many other things. Mm. You've been a part of Curse of Chucky.
Yes. Somehow my Christian upbringing brought me to the horror world. I don't understand how that happened, Olympia, but here I am.
And Anger Management. You've been on Anger Management,
yes,
right?
Yes, Charlie Sheen. That's fantastic.
Oh, my. Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. Had some good times on Shonda Rhimes.
It's CSI.
Yeah, I was recurring on CSI Miami as a lawyer.
And you, Venice Underground.
Yeah, that's an interesting one to put on there. That was actually one of the first films I ever did. A friend of mine, Eric Delabar, was the writer-director of that. And I played a sort of wacky assistant to a music producer. That was a lot of fun back in my 20s.
So you have been doing this for a while, and you've become, great at it. You have become great at it.
Thank you.
Great at it. And the reason why I have you on this show is because you're gifted at what you do.
Thank you.
And it takes the skill and the ability to actually provide that gift. And no matter what, keep reshaping the way that you're looking at life to keep moving forward every single day, to reinvent yourself, to still put yourself out there, facing rejection. Mm. But you have to know who you are at every step.
True.
So you can play other people and come back to who you are.
Well, that's an interesting, that's very insightful to say. Yeah, it's this interesting dance between keeping yourself as the human being grounded, doing the work, going to therapy. In my case, going to church is where we met, surrounding yourself with people who support you and love you regardless. And it's this, you know, everyone knows it's not the most, it's not the easiest pathway, this industry called the entertainment industry.
Oh, no. Oh,
and
no.
There's a lot of sidestepping and there's a lot of, you know, as how to get from point A to point B. No one really draws you a map. And so absolutely staying grounded in who you are. And so you have to have this duality. You have to have a very thick skin. mm-hmm. right? To be able to handle the rejection and to be able to understand the business component of it, not take it personally. And yet you are required to be diaphanous and vulnerable and emotional and accessible. So sometimes you feel a little crazy because you're
I think that's every job.
Yeah, well, possibly. I should try some other ones. I really should. Trust me. I could have been a lawyer by now. I could have been a doctor.
Oh, yeah. All of
really
it.
Doing
yeah,
things that change the world.
Yeah, but we all change the world in certain different
True.
Ways.
True.
And so you play different parts.
All the time.
You play different parts. And you're not only different parts, you're in different platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you're mm-hmm. at a video game platform.
I'm in a video game platform.
Share with our audience about what you're doing and what's being released right now.
Thank you. It's so exciting. And I got to tell you, it's one of those unexpected things that you say yes to. So in life, like you're young and you sort of map out the course of your life, what it's going to look like, what's going to happen at what age, which projects you're going to do. When I got the audition for Sony PlayStation 4's God of War, and I stopped my video game playing around Super Mario Brothers and Ms. Pac-Man, and I was pretty good at it, like Tetris, I was pretty badass at it, but I just decided, I was like, you know what, there's something so interesting about this audition, but I didn't know that it was a video game.
You didn't know there was a video game.
No, it was this beautiful speech. It was like a soliloquy it was like a Shakespearean soliloquy. For a second, I was like, this has got to be Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. Clearly, this is my Game of Thrones moment.
But it wasn't.
It was not at all. And I went in with that intensity, sort of embracing the world from this warrior goddess who's talking about her people and the sacrifices she made and, you know, living with the choices she made. And at the moment in my life, there was a gravitas happening for me just as a woman, as an individual, as an artist on this planet, that I just felt like all of the life experience I had was being channeled and grounded in this one audition. And apparently they were feeling it too, because they gave me the job.
The power. You brought the power into the room.
I brought all the power from my living and knowing in this lifetime into that moment, and it ended up being the goddess Freya from Norse mythology.
Mm.
I don't know if you know much about Norse mythology.
Tell us about it.
Okay, well, so obviously we're a little bit more steeped with like the Greek mythology and Roman, but Freya is derived from the word Frau, which means lady, which actually the day Friday was named after. Just a little trivia for your rocket scientist brain over there. Yeah, which is so interesting. So Freya is like an amalgamation of Aphrodite, Diana, and Athena. Like she's got this warrior aspect to her. She's the goddess of love, beauty, fertility, war, gold, satyr magic, and death.
She's
busy.
She has a full package.
She's got a full package. She's got a lot going on. She was also the queen of the Valkyries. Like she would swoop down and like gather the men from the battlefield that were noble and bring them up to Valhalla. Like she's got some game, and she's got a full schedule.
So when you found out, did your research as an actress,
yeah,
and did your homework in what all actresses have to do if they want to be great at what
they
do. It's
exciting to do the research. That's the best part.
When you did that research,
yeah,
how was she like you?
Mm. Well, she has a heart for truth.
Mm.
Yeah. And which doesn't make her perfect, right? Because she's also a mother, and she made some decisions with her son. She had foreseen that he would have an untimely death. He would be dying younger. And so she had put a spell to protect him, to make him invulnerable, because she didn't want him to feel any pain, as any mother would.
Mm.
But what she did is she robbed him of the experience of humanity, which is to feel the joy and the pain.
Oh, that's so fascinating. That's almost like Dracula, you know, in an odd way.
Yeah.
Taking the human experience away from a living being.
A living being, because she wanted to protect him, right? And so that there may have been some selfish gain to that, right? You know, as a mother would do anything for their child. And so it was interesting to play this sort of complex character who believed so highly in truth and in integrity and the sacrifices that she made for her people, the Vanir people. There was this war going on between the Vanirs and the Aesirs, and Aesirs with Odin, you know, and Odin has, you're probably familiar with why am I going to forget his name right now? He's the god with the hammer. And all I want to say Thor? Is Zeus. Yes, it's Thor. Good Lord in heaven. There's too many gods swimming in my head.
Do you know what's so interesting? Shout out. I have a real friend named Thor.
Oh, Thor? Do you really?
Well, it's so funny. He said, my name is always, he says, say it, Thor. And I always thought it was Thor.
Oh, Thor.
But
yeah.
He was actually one of the mathematicians I went to school with.
Oh, fantastic.
And so it's Thor and Olympia.
You guys were ready. You were up on the Grecian mountain.
Together all yeah. time. So when you say this, it just makes me smile thinking about way back when.
You were your own pantheon and you walked into class and everyone just sort of bowed down to you.
He's still a very good friend, and his family is just a wonderful group of people. And so you played this character.
Yeah, I got to embody her.
And that's one. And then you have another major project.
A couple projects. So I'll just wrap up this one here. So I had no idea I was getting involved in this game. And there was this beautiful prose in this speech. And it just come to find out that they literally, this is a shape-shifting moment in the world of video games. And I just want to give a shout out to one of the creators and the director, creative director, Corey Barlog, and our writers, Matt Sofas, and I'm going to say Richard Gobert. I think that is how you pronounce his last name. And all the people over at Sony Santa Monica Studios, because they took a narrative that was from a God of War that was once this sort of misogynistic, very patriarchal, very man who's riddled with rage and anger, and they gave him a son.
Mm.
And they brought the humanity into this one known character that people were sort of following, and they broke him down to the level of the feeling that you have for a child, which is that you do anything for your child. Mm. And the way that your child actually commands from you to live a life of more integrity, a life of truth, to be an example to your child, which humbles anybody. And so my character, Freya, sort of comes in, and she comes together with Kratos, and it's this beautiful alliance that they have. And there's a lot that goes on, but all that to say that the players who love this game are weeping at the end of the game by the story and this new narrative, this new telling of this world. And some of them are saying, oh, my gosh, I want to have a son. And oh, my gosh, I relate so much to these characters and what they're going through. They brought humanity to a video game. And I'm a part of that. And I just have to say, I'm so grateful.
How do people find out about it?
Well, it has a huge following. So we just got back from Tribeca Film Festival. We did a panel.
So about this new one, how do people find out about the new part that you are a part of?
Oh, Freya?
Yeah.
Well, they can get a Sony PlayStation 4 and they can play and they can go online and they can search God of War and they can watch. You know, we were avatars, so we were completely acting out these scenes. It wasn't just going into a booth with your voice. We were in the world together. Chris Judge plays Kratos and Jeremy Davis plays my son Baldur and Sonny Solvik, I think that's how you say his last name, plays the boy. And it's incredible. We love each other. We had the best time. And all that also to say that I said yes to something that I wasn't quite sure what it was, and I never saw myself going into a video game, and it's literally opening up a whole new world to me.
Well, that's what you were doing when you walked into the audition.
That's exactly what I did when I was walking to the audition.
You were stepping foot into a new world, and you didn't know what it was going to be, but you're open to it.
I was open, and I'm riding the wave. It feels really great.
Now there's other people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other people who want to be in your shoes, as well as you wanting to be in other people's shoes. And we can never be that way because we're all our unique person. Mm-hmm. You made a decision to go into this world, an entertainment world that is cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
That is, at the same time as cutthroat, it is one of the most rewarding experiences ever when you're on a stage, when you're in front of thousands of people, when you are speaking, when you're on shows. It's that rush. It's that brain rush with performing. What was the moment in time where you knew that you, no matter what, for your life, had to follow this path of entertainment?
Probably some sort of mental imbalance. Let's start there. Just,
all have a mental imbalance. That's why we listen to the show. We are clearing it all out.
Delusions of grandeur. I'm sure delusions of grandeur. No, it's in my blood. I come from a long line of writers, actors, performers. My lineage is steeped in that. So it was in my blood to be an artist.
So, your family member are performers.
Oh, yeah. My mother.
Your mother.
Singer, writer, actress, model. My father
was
a child
actor. You
have
pictures on your website of all of this. And I was just so fascinated by all of this.
My dad was a child actor, and he would always get picked to sit by Frank Sinatra or or Gene Kelly. He's always the kid they picked, you know. He still is a sort of likable guy. And he wanted to be a baseball player, so, I mean, eventually he fell out of it. But it's in my blood. And then I'll never forget, I was actually sharing this story at Tribeca? I can't remember. But when I was about 5 or 6 or whatever, I watched The Wizard of Oz, as any good parent will do, show their child this movie. And of course, I was obsessed with Dorothy, and I had to get the ruby slippers.
Over the rainbow.
Right, way up high.
And there's a good witch, too.
And there's a good witch, and there's a bad witch, and I played both good witches and bad witches. That's who I'd be cast as, by the way. I was never the ingenue. I was always the evil queen. Oh, God.
Well, I think, well, people, you, if you are not, if you're not familiar with what Danielle looks like, she's an absolutely stunning, beautiful woman with dark black, brown black hair. Yeah. Dark hair. And you're stunning. You're a stunning woman. And so when people think, it's just craziness subconsciously, and it's unfortunate that some people, when think that, oh, that there's different type of witches, they think of like, oh, the dark haired person would be like the one that you have to look out for.
No.
And the light haired person would be somebody of witches. Lolly, lolly,
lolly. Right.
And it's just a psychological thing that people fall into that's not true.
It's true.
And it's, I love what you're saying, which is that moment in time of this Wizard of Oz, where you're looking at this and thinking what?
I thought to myself, well, this is my big chance, because my family staged a little mini production in my uncle's backyard, and I'll never forget it. I think I was 5 or 6. I had my little stuffed dog, which was my Toto, in a little basket. And they were literally humoring me. We literally went through the whole movie. Everyone was improvising and acting out the scenes. My dad was the witch. My aunt poured a bucket of water on his head. And he was like, I'm melting. What a world.
Do you know that's one of my favorite movies? You do know that, right?
I mean, how could you not? The whole thing is about returning home and realizing that that was the place, always what you were searching for all along.
Is always inside
of you.
There's
no place like home, and it's always there. I mean, actually, interestingly enough, to bring it back to God of War, that's similar. I can't talk too much because I don't want to be too many spoiler alerts, but this similar thing about you have to venture out. You have to be the prodigal son and daughter and go and do it your way. You have to fall on your face. You have to risk. You have to have victory. You have to have failure and pick yourself back up and then realize it's not about going out and searching for it. You have to go out and search for it. But really, it's about being okay within yourself and finding that fulfillment and that self-love and care to such a deep level that, like, nothing's going to change your world, like the Beatles said, right? Jaya Guru Deva, nothing's going to change my world. Like, whoa, that's the goal, and it's not easy.
And you had an epiphany of that moment. For you, at what moment in time where you knew that no matter what audition that you were going to go into,
I was going to keep going.
You were
going
to keep going.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't know if I could just pinpoint one exact moment, but I will tell you that the first role I ever booked at 15 years old was Rizzo. Yeah. Now that's the irony, right? Good little Christian girl, never smoked, never drank, I don't even know if I had one kiss. Maybe I kissed one person, and there I was playing Rizzo. So funny. But I remember when I got the phone call, and I was in my living room sitting on the chair, and the phone call came in, and that was back when we didn't have cell phones, so it was like some cordless or some whatever, and my mom answered, and they were like, well, this is Save Theater, okay, in Simi Valley where I grew up. It was a summer theater where all the kids would get together in the summers, and we would just bond and do theater, and they're like, we want you to play Rizzo. And I think I burst into tears, like unabashed, like no poker face. I was so happy, and I was like, well, if that's what that feels like, I could keep going through all the no's to get to the next yes, because it was so rewarding. Yeah.
Well, I love the fact that you're a person of faith, and it is really powerful for people who are on a journey of finding out who they are and getting out there and doing something in which they haven't done before, playing a part, starting a new company, choosing to go into something that is out of their norm and they don't know what to expect, but they're going for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a level of faith.
Absolutely.
To actually do that.
100%.
My listeners know me. My listeners know me in knowing that I believe in God. I believe that there's no randomness.
Yeah.
There is a divine order. We humans just don't understand all the pieces.
Sure.
And I actually talk about this in my second book, Answers Unleashed, with the chaos theory of how there's different interacting and plays on things that we don't know how we'll all add together until the very end, which may not even be in our lifetime, but we will see the events. Like, for example, Martin Luther King didn't know that he was going to change all the different laws through the inspiration of people standing up for justice. But he was long gone after the major change had happened. But his legacy. Significance change was that chaotic time that changed the nation. When we are in those situations of recognizing that we're moving forward in something that we don't know how to do, and it's chaotic, and we don't know who we are yet because we are defining it, how does faith for you play into recognizing your own path?
Well, it's everything. I will tell you, it is hands down everything. There have been many moments of struggle and humility and learning from mistakes and the faith to carry on in what I love and what I've been working so hard to do when there are so many moments where, you know, you're in a desert. I was actually talking to my dad about this right before here. There have been those moments in the desert and I'm like, how am I here? How did I get here? If you can sort of punish yourself. You don't know why all of a sudden you had all of this abundance and flow and then it just stops and you think to yourself, am I crazy? Has this all been some sort of pipe dream?
Well, the natural feeling is, what did I do?
What did I do to
yeah. stop it? What did I do to pun? Why am I punished? That's the thought. Right, that's right. A toxic thought that will go through our head when we're not having success, when we're actually building it, but we don't know.
Well, that's the thing. And what you just said, because we don't know, because we're constantly planting these seeds, right? As artists, as people, not just in the internet, we're constantly planting these seeds. But you don't stand over the seed after you've put it in the ground and start screaming at it to grow.
Hurry up and grow.
Yeah. You trust. You have a little faith. They taught me this in science, that you water it, you allow the sunshine, you know, you make sure that it's facing the right part, you know, the right part in the hill to get the breeze and the thing. And you just trust that from this little seed that you planted with intention, with pure intention, is going to grow. And you know what? That plant, that rose, whatever it is, it may not look exactly like you thought it would, but that's the one that you need.
Ah, so your career, and this always happens with all of us. We think that we are going in one direction. We see ourselves as something else. And it doesn't quite turn out that way. And sometimes it turns out better.
Mm-hmm. Always.
How has that happened in the world of Hollywood?
For me?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. There's moments where I was like, wow, I'd love to be Amanda Peet right now. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you have those moments where you're like, good Lord. Like, so all of the actresses out there in my age bracket who have, like, let's say a bigger name, who would get the job, but I was like just right there, just about to get moved in. So sometimes you can have these fantasies of, well, what it would be like if I was that person. And then you just keep coming back to you. And I come back to, again, faith, this relationship that I have with God, and knowing that even through the struggle and the seed being planted, that there's a bigger picture waiting for me. There's a testimony, which I'm sharing now, to give, to say never give up. To the friends that have been loyal and family members who many times could have just been like, Danielle, please go back to school, or, you know, whatever it is they wanted to say, get off my couch. You're a grown woman. It's time to get your own apartment. Whatever it might be in whatever walk of my life, and these people that have been there for me, there's such an immense amount of gratitude. And
they shared your faith.
They shared my faith. They drank my Kool-Aid. They bought in, and they're with me. And, you know, and I'm not yet a mother. Which is interesting because I'm playing this mother in this video game role, and I play it often, clearly, in these roles that I play. And I just think it's all about that, right? Like sharing these lessons and these stories and gifts and passing them on. Whether you, God blesses me to be a mother, I have 10 nieces and nephews.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That I get to share with this wisdom, these, you know, the ups, the downs, be there for them. I'm a godmother to my best friend's son, Atlas. And like, it's such a blessing. And to me, it's all about that giving back, and the way that you're giving back on your show, and to maybe inspire someone to not give up and to keep going, or to reimagine what it is you're doing, or surround yourself, or Get yourself a side job that supports you, that you love. Yeah, I own a mobile massage company that I've had since 2005. And that massage company is starting to burgeon and grow. And it's like, there's ways to take care of yourself through this process, because it is a little bit of a dog eat dog. It fluctuates.
It was actually the same thing in the aerospace world. Oh. There'd be times in which everyone would be hired because there would be a multi-billion-dollar project that we'd launch to Mars. And then all of a sudden, bam, there's no project anymore. And like hundreds of people are like looking for work.
Yeah,
it would be the
off.
Exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And I'd really appreciate what you're saying. And this is the brain tip. This is the brain tip for today's show. And you know what I do. Every single episode, there's always a brain tip. And this, the brain tip today is this. Mm. Don't ever wish to be someone else. Mm. Recognize the power that you bring in your own world and the power that you bring to the world. Mm. It's because when we recognize that we are here for a reason, we can keep moving forward each day, because what we bring to the table is unlike anyone else.
We're snowflakes. There's no one else like us.
And do you know who one of the people that I love, J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez.
Oh yeah.
I will look at her perform for like hours. Mm. She's just beautiful. And I will like look at her perform. And the most fascinating thing I heard from her is that her family, her mother was mad. At the age of 18, and this was just so fascinating to read. I remember reading this. I remember watching her give an interview about this. And she said that her mother was so mad at the age of 18 because Jennifer Lopez wasn't going to go to school to be a lawyer like her mother wanted her to be.
Yeah.
And she had the intelligence to do it. Mm-hmm. And she loved performing.
Yeah.
And she loved performing so much so that she literally decided to not be at home, camp out at the dance studio that she was in, mm-hmm. and decided that's what she was going to do for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Now, people would think, oh my gosh, well, thank God she made the right choice. But you wouldn't have known that Mm-mm. when she was 18 years old.
No, she couldn't have known.
No.
You know, but that decision was just unwavering. And it was a contract, in a sense, that she sort of made with herself
with God.
You know, it's like, this is it. I will not be delineated from this path.
And I, in that regards, I loved that story. Mm. Because when I look at her, she still used the exact same skills. Because if people follow her, she has created a production company for the last 10 years. Mm. And that's where all the legal smarts that she has ever accounted for has gone into building what she is and does right now. Now, there are so many different things. If you're a listener and you're a person in Hollywood who wants to become great at what it is that you are doing, and in the entertainment world, in building yourself and people knowing who you are, it's not about followers. I just want to let you know about that, even though it is helpful and people look at that. But honestly, when it comes down to it, it's about whether or not you fit the business role. That's what it breaks down to.
It's true. It's a business.
This entertainment is a business.
Absolutely.
If you fit the role in which they're appealing to with the customers who are going to watch the film, buy the product, see the commercial. Like, for example, I would not be cast in a commercial that had all Chinese speakers and people who would watch the entire show in Chinese. Do you know why? Mm. I am not from China.
You do not fit the bill.
I would not be cast.
Yeah.
And it is because there is a audience that would understand the Chinese language and would understand the Chinese culture of that particular product. However, if we went into a particular show and they were looking for a scientist,
there you go.
Voila.
That's your gift, and that's true to your nature, as you were just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We all have a gift that we bring.
Yeah.
And it is not your followers, but understanding what it is that you bring to the table that aligns with the business.
Absolutely.
Now, if you had three tips to give the people, the first tip, what did you think?
Well, in alignment with that, stay true to you.
Stay true to you.
Surround yourself with people who will be there for you through the ups and the downs.
Ah.
And I would say find your faith. Find your faith in something other than yourself.
I totally agree with all three of those. Those are such excellent tips.
I want to give one shout out.
Yeah.
I will be on Shonda Rhimes's For the People on the season finale.
Oh! how exciting.
Yes.
So when is that?
Playing a lawyer. Okay, J-Lo. Look out, Jay. I play lawyer all the time. It's going to be May 15th. It's a Tuesday at 10 p.m. on ABC. I'll be on the season finale as Dana Gallagher, and I'm nice. Really looking forward to it. Yeah.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
And people can find you outside of these shows. They can find you. How do they
sure.
find you?
I mean, all the social media places, at Danielle Basuti on Twitter, at Danielle Basuti on Instagram, Facebook. I have a website. Yeah.
And so people, so let's have the audience make sure to know how to spell your name.
Oh, yeah. It's tricky. Right. Danielle in the traditional spelling, and Basuti, like biscotti, like a little cookie, B-I-S-U-T-T-I, Danielle Basuti. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on
oh my
our
God,
show.
This was
Answers
delightful.
Unleashed.
We could just talk for hours. Let's keep going.
Well, you do realize this is my job. I can do this all day and night.
You are phenomenal at it, my lady.
Thank you.
I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. It is my honor to have you on Answers Unleashed.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. Different ways for you to look at how you can contribute not only to Hollywood and the entertainment world, but make a difference in your own life and change your own thinking to keep moving forward no matter what type of rejection is there, but rather looking for that moment in time where you're in perfect alignment of where you are to be. This has always been a pleasure to be on Answers Unleashed with you. I am your host, Olympia LaPointe. Check us out every Tuesday. This is season 5, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on kpcradio.com. Call us in at 888-88-ANSWERS. Ask a question. We may be able to answer it on air for you. Mm. You can find me anytime on facebook.com/Olympia LaPointe. And you can always find this podcast as well as other podcasts on answersunleashed.com/podcast. I am your host, Olympia LaPointe, here with you on Answers Unleashed. I'll see you next time.